If your child ain't all he should be now, this girl will put him right. I'll show him what he could be now. Just give me one night. I'm the gypsy, the acid queen.
It's one of the most highly regarded albums of all time, and now it's been fully realized as a full-length bluegrass tribute. We're talking about The Who's Tommy. It was released 45 years ago at Classic of Classic Rock, a rock opera. What you just heard was Acid Queen, and that is from Tommy, a bluegrass opry. Joining us today is Nolan Lawrence. He's a mandolin player with the Hillbenders, a bluegrass Americana band based in Springfield, Missouri. Nolan, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you so very much, and hello, everybody.
It's a big, long introduction there for an epic piece. Tell me when you first sort of came across, it was released in 1969, so when did you first come across The Who's Tommy?
Well, you know, my father actually had a huge record collection when I was growing up, thousands of records, and one of my first really cool Christmas presents was a was my own record player, because of course he had a really nice one that I couldn't touch. So anyway, sometime around probably 14 or 15 years old, I think, was the first time that I heard Tommy, and it was a great record, and I didn't really think a whole lot of my future with it at that point, obviously. And it wasn't until about 2.5 years ago that one of my dear friends, Mr. Lewis Myers, was talking to me about it. And Lewis was one of the founders of a big festival down in Texas called South by Southwest. And he was very, very connected in the music industry for decades. And he was about to retire and was looking for his next project. And he had been a fan of our band for quite some time and had been friends with me for years. And as he was about 6 months out of retirement, he was sitting down to dinner with me one night and got to talking about what he was going to do with retirement, and said, I had this crazy idea about recording The Who's Tommy as a bluegrass opry. And I said, wow, that is a crazy idea. Who would do that? And he looked at me and he said, well, I kind of thought maybe you would do that.
And was that the moment where you just said, of course? Did you get it right away, or did you have to warm up to the thought?
Well, our band works as a democracy, so we each get an equal vote in things. So I took it to the band, and we all discussed it, and turns out our guitar player was a huge fan of Tommy and had known all of the songs and seen the Broadway version of it and was just a very avid fan, and so he was really excited, and that kind of caught the excitement of the rest of the group, and after a few weeks we decided to at least entertain the idea and talk some more about it with Lewis, and we did so, and then we went on to try a couple of demo songs just to see if it would sound the way that he thought it might sound, and as soon as we sent off those demos to him, he responded immediately and said, oh, this is exactly what I've been looking for, and let's move forward. So he put together a highly detailed business plan and had us sit down with him in Kansas City to talk over the concept and the album and the recording and the touring. And from that point, we all agreed and decided to jump in head first, and we spent about 3 months working on the project, getting it to the point where we had all of the music under our fingers and in our minds, and then we hit the studio and cut the whole thing to analog tape, just like they did on the original, except we did it in 4 days, and I think they did it in 18 months or something like that. So,
what are some of the challenges of really pulling that off from a bluegrass, you know, roots perspective?
Well, one of the first challenges would have been the arrangement of the pieces, just to make them fit. And that was done by our guitar player, Jimmy, again, because of his familiarity with the project. He jumped right on the opportunity to do those arrangements for the band. and so he kind of did the initial translation, if you will, from rock and roll to bluegrass. And then we all kind of took those early arrangements and built on them and found where people fit best, given their vocal qualities or their instrumental qualities, and we kind of ironed out the kinks here and there. I would say some of the biggest challenges would be finding ways to replace the drums. Keith Moon was a ridiculously phenomenal drummer, and we don't have a drummer. So making this work and making the energy of the original carry through without a drum kit was a serious challenge. And then additionally, I would say the vocals. Those guys, when they recorded the original, were young, strapping, vocally talented guys.
Shirtless.
Relatively young. But they put some serious onus on those vocals on the original recording, so it was a challenge to keep up with that and make it come across like that. So
let's listen to an excerpt. We're going to hear a little bit of Pinball Wizard to hear some of those vocals.
Always playing clean, he plays by intuition. The digit count is far. That deaf, dumb, and blind kid sure plays a mean pinball. He's a pinball wizard. He's got to be a twist. Pinball wizard's got such a supple wrist.
We're talking with Nolan Lawrence, mandolin player with the Hillbenders. Nolan, my confession to you is I've listened to a lot more bluegrass than I've listened to The Who, not to alienate anybody out there. Sort of like bluegrass. So I'm wondering, you're sort of responsible for building this bridge musically and culturally and historically. How do you approach those two different audiences and making that connection?
Well, yeah, I've been involved in the bluegrass industry now for the better part of, well, over the last decade, I guess. and early on, I got involved politically, and one of the biggest struggles in bluegrass is that it's such a small genre and it's so misunderstood by so many people. We've constantly had a challenge within the industry for people to create bridges to other genres and to other bodies of work and to other people. And so it's always kind of been in my a challenge for me to figure out a way to do that. And when this opportunity came along, it fit right in that wheelhouse. it's not exactly what I had in mind when I first started tackling that concept, but it has absolutely been by far more beneficial at that task than probably a lot of other things would have been. The amount of people that are drawn to the project because of the content, because of what it is, Tommy being one of the biggest records of all time, catches a lot of attention and it turns a lot of heads. And so it's been a very rewarding thing to bring a lot of new people into the bluegrass fold, and it's also been really exciting to take that rock and roll, which is something that kind of resonates with all of us in the band, and we spent a lot of time listening to rock and roll growing up as teenagers. it's very interesting to take that and reimagine it with the other form of music that we're all so extremely passionate about, being bluegrass, and seeing the look on people's faces when they see those two things meshed together in such a unique way is really special, and it's really fun and exciting seeing the crowd get into the show. And you know, on both sides of the aisle, we have people that come up to us afterwards that didn't know anything about bluegrass before but knew Tommy, and they came in and said, "We have no idea we loved bluegrass so much. You guys are awesome, and bluegrass is amazing. We're going to listen to lots of bluegrass now." And then same thing on the other side of the aisle, and people that are bluegrass people that have never listened to rock and roll and come in and go, wow, that was so cool. We're going to have to totally check out more Who stuff and blah, blah, blah. So,
who's that? Yeah, right. Pete Who? Yeah. So there's someone everywhere you go. Let's finish up. I got about a minute left. Tell me about the Hillbenders. What's it like to be on stage with that group?
You know, that the Hillbenders have been together, same members, for almost a decade now. And there's something really, really special that happens when we get on stage. And I think that that little spark of magic is what Lewis saw and decided, helped him decide to push this project our direction. It's a phenomenal experience. And it's even more so when we get to a place where the crowd is into the show with us and participating with us, and we feed off of the energy of them just as much as they do us. And on those right nights where it all comes together, it's a truly magical thing.
Nolan Lawrence, vocalist and mandolin player for the Hillbenders. You can hear their January concert at the Matthews Opera House. Tommy, a Bluegrass Opry, this weekend on No Cover, No Minimum Radio. It's the first of a two-part episode this Saturday night at 9 Central, 8 Mountain. Sunday night at 11 Central, 10 Mountain on SDPB Radio.